Blog Talk Radio.
Got the one and only Pootie Earl from the Lunatics fam and the Russian Hag Job doing your intro. You know, you think, you know, you're doing things right on that note. Man, today is a tremendous show for me. You know, I've had this gentleman on my show before, and he talked about his counterpart, and he always wanted to bring him on, so we made this day happen. And on the other end of it, we got an internet sensation and a tremendous friend of mine that is MK Ultra, roles in that aspect. So we're going to kind of correlate the two worlds together today on one show, and it's going to be a little interesting and a little unique. But before we do that, you know, I'm going to do something I've never done before because I think it's a must-be. If you're listening on iHeart or Univision, you're going to want to download this episode because the more downloads I get, the more airtime we get next week. So I'm going to go ahead and drop this song for you, man. I kind of like this, and I think you will too. We're going to play a little bit of it.
Hold me down, I hold you close, I love the drill, let's hold it down, hold me down, I hold you close, I love the drill.
Juliet, no Montagues and no Capulet. Love, but that'll let me know Kaepernick. Take a knee like Kaepernick. Just to put the ring on my pretty young thing. Amory told me it's just one thing. Norman Hill told me to watch that thing. I don't know what it did, but you got that thing.
Rockin' with you since your curfew. We're keeping you out past your curfew. Your mom's and your pops like that. Gotta stop, but I never do nothing to hurt you. I was your bad boy, and you were my college girl. I was rapping with the thugs and my friends so drunk, but I never brought you into that world. I wanna ride with you, to the top of the sky with you. I wanna be young and fly with you. I wanna grow and die with you. So what you wanna do now? You're picturing my life without you now. Bear my soul like the fork in the road. Let's take this vow.
We better together than ever apart.
Wow, wow, wow. You know, when I listen to that, that's some crazy-ass shit right there, bro. You know, I'm going to start with you, El Dorado. You know, when you created your style and you created the uniqueness that you bring to the movement, what allowed you to correlate yourself with Psychosis?
Oh, man, me and Psychosis actually go back to high school, man. First of all, I want to say, what up, world? I'm happy to be backstage with Don McGuire once again. It's an honor and a pleasure to be rocking with you.
Yeah. Does somebody have us on speaker?
Now, you know what it is? I think it's both of our lines. Somebody go around the room, bro.
That might help.
There
it
goes.
Turn it down
there
a little bit. There it is.
Yeah.
That probably helped.
Trying to get rid of some of that feedback and that echo and that reverb.
It had a flavor to it anyway. You met him in high school, man. What correlated you two to decide to get into the movement together?
Man, so we met in high school, which was like gladiator school, man, freestyling, having lunchroom ciphers in high school, Thornton Township out in Harvey. On Chicago's south side, and I'm a couple years older than he is, so I graduated, we lost contact, and really didn't see each other again probably for another, man, maybe 5 years or so, 5 or 6 years, and met up again on the open mic circuit. So we went from freestyling in high school to us both becoming adults and being on the underground circuit in Chicago, rocking at various open mics on the south side, the west side, and the north side of Chicago. And even then, we had our own movements, our own collectives of people that we were working with, but we kind of stayed in contact from their exchange numbers and, you know, with lightweight touch bases with each other just to check on each other, you know, because it's a bit of a grind when you're an artist and when you're an independent artist. So over the years, we would just kind of check in with each other, provide feedback on new material, an encouraging word here and there. And I think it was around 2012, we collaborated on a song and started really moving around the Midwest region together doing a few shows. And we realized that aside from us having a history of friendship and there was a brotherhood there, we also saw things similar in a business realm. And we really saw that we can kind of capitalize on that synergy and make a movement out of a friendship and out of a brotherhood and out of a common love for hip-hop music. Let's take it to the next level and see if we can take our own personal philosophy and turn that into a business model and a business plan. And from there, we created Greater Than Self Entertainment, which is multimedia, multi-disciplined company. So we're trying to attack it from a musical standpoint with musical production, also music licensing, as well as videography, cinematography, and graphic design. We have a few legs of the company working right now. A lot of movable parts, but we're trying to capitalize on everything we're passionate about. Steph, all that from high school. All that from two guys rapping in high school, not paying attention in Spanish class.
You know, Psychosis, I'm going to throw something over to you real quick. You know, this correlated for you in El Dorado, but then you added a third aspect of the genre or the family, and that being the homie Chris. What is it that has you three combined? I mean, because when you see you three on stage, you're not performing, you're having fun. What is it about that aspect of three brothers being on stage that you truly take to heart and relish in?
Well, again, first of all, shout out to you guys for having us on today. It's truly a blessing, and I appreciate it. Salute to everything my brother Eduardo just said. I think similar to the story of what he just told you about how he and I went back and we had a relationship that extenuated beyond music, the homie Chris, in a similar fashion, he and I had a mutual friend. Shout out to the homie Andes. Yeah, we had a mutual friend that we both went to college with at different times who knew me through my music and my passion. He knew Chris as a producer who was becoming somebody who wants to get more on the rap side. And he linked us together and linked us with the homie Matt Swicky over at Suburban Pro Studios. And I think that dynamic, we started, you know, me and the homie Chris working relationship, and I kind of brought El Dorado into that, and it just kind of became like this synergy that we all would have when we created music. Because to me, the thing I like the most about us is that we're all similar and we're all completely different. And what I mean by that is our music is that way, our personalities are that way. Like, we have these core values that are really strong and the same, but we don't lose our individuality. And so I think that shines through in the music too, because none of our songs sound like each other's. And then when we get on a song together, it's a whole new sound than any of us individually would make. And the same thing when we're on stage. It's like an energy of like, it's like Voltron forming, you know, it's like, you know, powering up to another degree. Like, yo, so now we're going to perform this song that none of us would have made individually, but as a group, we can do it. Or if it's an El Dorado Jones song or a homie Chris song or a Psychosis song, it doesn't matter whose song it is, we're going to perform it as if we wrote it, you know, perform it as if it's hard. So I think we just synergize, honestly. We synergize, we compliment each other, we criticize each other's music, and constructively.
Constructively.
We'll be in the studio and engineering with each other, you know what I'm saying? Like, we're in the booth like, hey, you know, I think you should do this effect, or you should say it this way, or maybe. Even though we may not have anything written on that song, you know, we help engineer and produce each other's music. So I think that's a unique thing that I don't know a lot of people doing. I think that's why you see what you get with us on stage and through the music.
Yeah. Well, that's why I'm definitely family with y'all, because what y'all are doing is tremendous in the hip-hop industry and the underground movement and just in the Midwest in general and now nationwide. You know, today's a first for me because I got an internet sensation on here. I got a rapper himself in a different genre, and that being Boggin with Steve. Boggin, I'm going to toss the mic to you, brother. Anything you want to ask these fellas?
Boggin, yeah, what up? You guys really have, I mean, I just found out about you. I'll be honest. I'm Boggin with Steve, and also my music name is MK Ultra. But I try to do a lot of different facets of creativity-wise. I do paintings and just all kinds of different stuff. But how you guys were saying how you have this multifaceted branch of really you guys coming together as, you know, brothers and becoming family and helping critique each other's music and stuff like that, but also doing a lot of different stuff with your label and the graphics and stuff like that. Are you guys looking for independent artists to reach out to you guys and share, you know, their creativity and things as well?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We actually, we did a tour entitled How the Midwest Was Won. That's the number one, not W-O-N, but O-N-E, the number one, How the Midwest Was Won a few years back. And that's the exact spirit behind that tour. The whole idea was, how do we put together a tour that would empower other independent, maybe scarcely known artists and put them on stages they had never been on and they probably wouldn't be on. So with that, we took artists that we met in St. Louis and put them on stage in Denver. We had guys coming from the East Coast performing in Milwaukee. And for us, it's all about network. It's all about trying to create something that's not necessarily there and spread that around. That's why our brand, our movement, our philosophy is always greater than self. It's no point in being a star if you got to shine in the sky by yourself. You want to be a star in a constellation. That's our philosophy. Let's build constellations. Let's not just build stars. Let's build constellations. And
I love that, man.
There's room enough for everybody. I appreciate that. I appreciate that, man. And you mentioned, Don told us that you're from Indiana. That's one stop that we did not get to make on the last How the Midwest Was Won, but we do plan on ramping it back up this year, or rather the top of maybe springtime 2019. Hopefully we can get a few dates in Indiana. That would be amazing.
Definitely. Well, I know some people here that can help with that. But also, I think that's one thing that the underground music movement and what's happening in music, where everything is so independent now with social media and things like that. And, you know, but there's, you know, people like myself that, like, I have a creative idea, but I don't have the technology or the equipment to pull it off. You know what I mean? And so,
Absolutely.
You know, with what you're doing, I could see you guys kind of being like an underground. So the way that people can understand, it would be like an underground warp tour for, you know, underground musicians and things like that.
Absolutely.
And that's what we need, man.
Absolutely.
That is what the industry needs. And so I'm stoked about just how you guys' influence of what you're already doing and being able to help small artists. We're all struggling artists, you know what I mean? So to be able to help struggling artists and know from being an artist yourself what that takes and how to, you know, grow. We all learn this industry, some of us quick, some of us, you know, on our own, some of us with help. And, you know, to be able to have that support system, it's almost like the underground musician chamber of commerce, because we don't need record labels anymore. You know what I mean?
We're trying to add to it that makes us, I think, not necessarily unique, but what makes it different in some ways is that exactly what you just said about us being artists ourselves. When we put these things together, like a huge problem we see in the music industry for underground artists and for artists in general. So the on the mainstream level, people are having this conversation about things like streaming platforms and whether or not streaming platforms are properly compensating artists by the amount of money that they get per stream, per play. What's less talk about and more horrendous is all of the artists that are getting charged to do everything that the artist should be getting paid to do. So especially in the genre of hip-hop, like, so for example, a lot of people may not be aware of this. You may go to your favorite bar from Wednesday to Saturday, and that bar may have a cover band or a house band. A cover band, you know, can essentially perform other people's music and still may be paid by that, you know, owner or promoter just to come because people like the way that they sing Metallica, AC/DC, or whoever it may be. On the same token, a hip-hop artist with their own original music is locked out of most places that play live music unless they have a tremendous following. So what they end up having to do is, the opportunities where there is a bigger name hip-hop artist. So for example, speaking of Indiana, yesterday there was a T.I. and Gucci Mane show in Hammond. A lot of local artists who couldn't possibly perform them by themselves, a lot of times, not saying this is what happened yesterday, but I see it happen often, they will be approached by the promoter or approach the promoter and say, hey, I would love to be on the show because this is the only time we're going to have hip-hop in this town. And they get charged hundreds of dollars to open up for somebody. And it's great for social media pictures, but it's a total waste. You know, you're spending $500, $800, $1,000 to perform original music. You know,
you're
so we were really trying to attack that. Yeah, we were trying
you
to attack
that
and get rid of that.
I've got chills. You know, I'm on my social media page right now. They could see that I've got chills, but that's exactly what I say is, you know, should any other, you know, the waiters, the bartenders, the security, the doorman, all these other people get paid and it's entertainment value, and we bring value, you know what I mean? Like, there's nobody should have to perform their – nobody should have to, one, pay to play. And that way it's, you know, the promoters are making all the money and the artists aren't. You know what I mean? And I totally agree with that.
I've yet to hear anybody in mainstream media say this at all. And I watch a lot of them, Breakfast Club and Ebro and Joe. But I heard nobody in mainstream media bring light to the fact that this is the road that 99% of artists, hip-hop artists, go through. They paid all this money to get these beats. They paid all this money to, you know, record and get the track work and shoot a video. Then you got to pay all the money to Facebook and Google and all these other people to put it out there. And then that's still not enough. So now you got to pay somebody to get on stage and to perform at a local venue that would possibly give a cover band that shot in the heartbeat.
I totally agree.
It's a big part of why.
You guys are unveiling it, you know what I mean? And that's what my music's all about, too, is like, I've done some 16-bar challenges that talk about the industry, and, you know, it's not where, I mean, as you become kind of bitter, you know what I mean, a very competitive industry and very slick, you know what I mean? So hopefully you guys can be that, what every artist has been praying for probably the last 20 years.
The hope is to be able to provide that platform and give guidance as we learn and as we grow. We're still learning, growing, adapting to new technology, which you hope equals new opportunities. And with those opportunities, we try to share what we learn, and if there's room, create a business opportunity where everybody can win. It's all about creating win-win. I don't want to be a part of a win-lose situation, even if I'm on the winning side of that equation. I don't want to be a part of a win-lose. You know what win-lose creates? That creates enemies, and that creates hardship for somebody else. I'd rather be able to create a win-win situation. And I believe you can. I believe we can. We just have to be smart and creative. I believe we can create win-wins.
Yeah. Let me jump up in here real quick. You know, because you guys brought up something very relevant, man. And, you know, I'm in my 50s, and you know I roll with Bone Thugs and Harmony. But a lot of people don't want to look back in the day that they had to pay to play. You know, and we're talking about icons in the industry. You know, if it wasn't for a young man by the name of Eazy-E, we would have never had Bone Thugs and Harmony.
Absolutely. Right.
You know, so when I look at it in that aspect, you know, this pay for play is something that has truly been something I'm profoundly against. You know, I think that the aspect of you putting in the hard work, you putting in the writing, and then, you know, having to pay to perform, having to pay to put it out on social media, that aspect, it needs to be gone. But in the same essence, do you think if that aspect wasn't there in the beginning, and I'm going to pose this to you, Eldorado Jones, do you think if that aspect wasn't there in the beginning, do you think we would have some of the great artists that we have today?
I think that that was the only opportunity many of them had to take advantage of. So I believe they would have been, the talent was there, but sometimes if that's the only door available, you go through the door available. It's great to have lofty ideas of what you like to do, but if the opportunity does not meet preparation, there's no change. I'll give you a very real scenario. I remember when iTunes was still very new and the industry was trying to figure out, and they're still trying to figure out what streaming would look like, and MP3s were still new. People were still trying to sell CDs out of their trunk. And there was a time where if you weren't signed to a label, you could not have your music available on iTunes. There was no Spotify. We're talking about 2000 and maybe 6, 7, things like that. So unfortunately, you may have had a drive and a want to capitalize on what the new wave was going to be, the internet, but there was not a lot of places for you to sell your music online. Streaming was in its complete infancy. It was a new thing for everybody, major, independent, across the board. And independent artists were largely frozen out of that. So to bring that back to your question, unfortunately for most of our greats, that was the only outlet. Similar to when you'll hear a story about an artist, or say, for instance, if you go back and you look at Chess Records, who was Chess Records was famous for bringing out a lot of blues acts, some of the biggest blues legends. And
Norman Jackson came out of there. Norman Jackson came out of there. I said Norman Jackson came out of there, one of the greatest
Absolutely.
Blues legends. Yeah.
Absolutely. So if you look back and if you ask an executive from that era, well, do you feel like you guys were robbing the artist? They'll say, hey, we were doing business as usual. That was the business of the day. No artist kept their publishing, or no artist got this many points or that many points. So were the artists, were they stupid for signing contracts like that? No, those were the only contracts available. And you thank God and you try to take advantage when new opportunities arise, you try to take advantage of them. And that's really what we try to do, is to find, you want to find those cracks in the matrix or cracks in the foundation that you can kind of kick in, and hopefully you're making it a little bit better for the people behind you. But of course, you have to take advantage of what's available. And we just want to change what's available. We want to change
and
that story and create new things.
This has been the business model since modern music. Okay,
absolutely.
I mean, I don't know what, like, Beethoven was going through this and stuff, but this has been the business model since modern music. And it's making it with the internet, and the power of the people is where it really comes to. If you guys out there have an artist that you are feeling their message, please go support them. Even if you don't
absolutely
have the money to support them financially, please go support them on their social media and share their stuff. Help them network, because we, the people, are the ones that can change this, you know, and
absolutely,
where we can, if we get the right people in there, it's just like politics. If we get the right musicians in there, we'll have the voice as the people. And I love that message, because that's what my message is all about. It's all about
absolutely
humanity. I make this for future generations. I've been offered different deals and stuff, but I didn't write it to be shelved. I wrote this stuff for our kids' grandkids to hear.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Before we go any further, gentlemen, I'm being syndicated. I do have to pay the bills. With that being
Absolutely.
Said, we're going to drop a little commercial from Sloan Bone, and we'll be right back in 39 seconds.
What up, it's your boy Sloan Bone of the Mo Thugs Movement, part of the Bone Thugs and Harmony family tree, the 86ers brand ambassador. Check it out though, listen, in a world full of followers, be proud to be different, be an 86er. So what I need y'all to do is go to the 86ers.net. We got the dopest apparel, men and women, everything you need for a fresh start. I'm talking tees, zip-ups, tanks, hoodies, and the best hats at a price nobody can match. I'ma ask you this though, what do your clothes say about you? If you don't know, come to the 86ers.net and find yourself out. And a special shout out to Don McGuire, the host of the Fighter's Voice. Salute, big homie.
Gotta pay them bills, gotta pay them bills, you know?
Yes, yes,
yes. Oh, I dig it. He said, be proud to be different, man. I dig it already.
Hey, but you know, I want to jump to psychosis for a second here. You know, psychosis, I'm very deep with Dean, Pooty Earl, and all the homies up in the St. Louis area. You know, how relevant is it for you and Eldorado Jones to be able to make that little bit of a trip? And, you know, as in occasions when I go down there, you know, 23, 24, 25 different artists show up. We do a radio show, but what you're getting is an opportunity to look at 25 different aspects of the genre, 25 different artists. And basically what is being curtailed is you have an opportunity to look at a pool of up-and-coming artists to pull and pick from and decide who you'd like to collaborate with. How much is that add importance to what you're doing in the music industry?
Well, I think number one, the biggest significance is closing the gap, right? It's closing the divide of, hey, we're only, you know, 4 hours up this side of I-55. Like, why can't we link? You know, it's nothing stopping us. And so I think over the past couple of years, as we've made more moves to St. Louis and Kansas City and, you know, linking with people from Branson, like all of these different parts of you know, just a state over, that it makes people not feel as isolated. You know, as Eldorado was talking earlier about our How the Midwest Is One tour, like the whole concept behind that was, look, it doesn't matter if you know, Chicago may sound cool to say because people think of, you know, the drill music in the big city and all of that, but to me, that got nothing to do with how good you are, right? So if you're good, it doesn't matter what part of the country you're from, and you shouldn't be locked out of that picture just because you don't have a major city associated with your background. And so for me, I think that's number one. And then number two, we all get to feed off of each other, you know, like, you know, just the way of thinking, the slang, the way of dress and fashion. You know, hip hop is a genre where lifestyle filters into the music a lot. And so the more we're exposed to, you know, different lifestyles, you know, whether it be Eldorado was talking earlier about, hey, the barbecue, the food, the culture, the way people talk, move, that all ends up going back into what we write, you know, because that's a new experience. Even though it's not as far, far away, it's a new experience that now I'm listening differently because, you know, I've been exposed to it. So I think we try to give that and we try to receive that too. You know, that was another big aspect of our tour, not just, you know, fighting the good fight for the artist, but it was also putting people in a room together who don't normally listen to each other's music, because we assume it's going to be different because it's regional, but we found out that basically the only thing that matters is if it's dope, and we just work around that. You know what I mean? That's the only thing about it. Who cares your accent? You know what I mean? Just let's work around that. That's how we look at it.
That's dope right there. We're going to drop another track for our listeners. Now, if you're listening on iTunes, iHeart, Univision, please download this episode. Like I said, the more listens, the more downloads, the more airtime we get next week in succession. We're going to drop White Walls right now, bro.
Oh, man, let's go.
Here we go. Let's go again. Baby. need a new scissor and she go crazy. I play the Solange and she go crazy. On this Jeanette Echo, we might make a baby. I play my Tecna, now she looking at me crazy. Hit my lyrical shit, but I really wanna nibble and lick on the nipples too. True, I'm on the food on this food time. I'm so cool, I might hit it with my shoes on.
She just always kiss the bar and beat up man with bit that cool with me. I cut on some bone and she like Billy. How we ever supposed to share a playlist? My daddy never knew that.
Connect with that. I feel the same way, man.
I appreciate that, man.
Oh, man, yeah.
I appreciate that.
The word of today's show is trap nap. Only if you know what that means, but you got to check it out. I'm going to toss the mic to Steve, let him ask you a couple more, then I'll come back and we'll explain trap nap.
Yes, sir.
Steve.
Trap nap sounds to me like you put him to sleep with your music. You know what I mean? It wasn't even a competition.
No.
You guys can say it later. So how long have you guys been together as like working on this project? Like you guys said, you guys met and was doing music before. Like how long were both of you guys doing this before you met? And then how long have you been working together on this mission?
For me, El Dorado, I don't remember not rapping. Rap, hip-hop has been something that's been a constant in my life, my entire life. I can remember being, and this is no joke, I can remember being in a high chair, and I'm trying to rap some old Run DMC. I grew up listening to N.W.A. when I had no business listening to N.W.A. when I was super young. So when we met in high school, I had already been trying to formulate and rap and do whatever I could for umpteen years. Now, we've been working together, and we sometimes go back and forth and try to come to a consensus of I know we have dates on when this business was made and when this was opened up, but when do we really start trying to put it together? And I have it down to about 2013. I'll say for the past 5 years, we've been really rocking together under the moniker of Greater Than Self and trying to legitimize ourselves as a multimedia brand. 2013 is when we launched our first event together. It was actually to commemorate and to a release a video from Psychosis for his song Against the Wall, which went on to be included in everything from Sunny D commercials to primetime television. And in that same event, we also did a soft launch of a clothing line that we were creating back in 2013. So ever since then, every step of the way has been, how can we kind of fine-tune what we started 5 years ago, find new ways to produce, new ways to get things to the marketplace, and just be better. We have the rubrics. We have a base. How do we do it better? How do we replicate it more efficiently? Whether it's a song, whether it's shooting videos, whether it's clothing lines, how can we recreate it and do it better? So I say about 5 years of Greater Than Self as a company.
That's awesome. That's awesome. That's a lot of knowledge that people that, you know, independent artists can feed off of by doing some of these tours and stuff. I've got a question for you, Psychosis.
True, shoot.
Okay. How did you come up with the name Psychosis? Because it's kind of ironic to me that my name is MK Ultra, and MK Ultra causes psychosis through mind control. So how did you come up with the name? Because it's super ironic to me at the moment. You know what I mean?
All right, I've been a student of the game, you know, but I actually grew up, and this will become relevant later. I grew up listening to R&B, gospel, singing, and melodies, right? And so by the time I'm in fifth grade and I started really getting exposed to hip-hop, I'm like, whoa, this is blowing my mind. But I have a background in you know, singing. So my older cousin, Skeet, he was an MC at the time, and he was a huge KRS-One fan. He was like, look, if you want to be an MC, you know, you gotta really be good with words. So what you should do is get to a dictionary and learn as many adjectives, nouns, verbs, like learn how to use these words. So that way when you go to write a song, you always have a vocabulary to pull from. Because if you listen to people like KRS-One or Rakim, you know, at the time one of the artists I was heavy on was Cannabis, right? So these people are like mind-blowing with wordplay. So anyway, I spent about 2 or 3 days reading the dictionary, and I came across the word psychosis, which, you know, is spelled with a P. I spelled mine S-Y-C-O-S-S, but the real word is spelled with a P. So you're about three-fourths through the dictionary when you get to P, right? So anyway, I'm reading through it, and in whichever version of the dictionary I had, it says something like, you know, a person who is detached from reality, right? So there's a moment where an individual can no longer tell the difference between what's real or not. And ultimately, they may be the only one who believes what it is that they believe. So the technical, clinical description of somebody who's psychotic, right, is you hearing voices. Somebody tell you God told them to do something. Can you say they did or they didn't really hear it, right? It's real to them. And that resonated with me at 12 years old, because at 12 years old, I was always the kid who would have the hip-hop argument nobody wanted to agree with, right? So everybody's like, oh, yeah, Master P is dope. And I'm like, that's it, right?
At the time, I love that.
I always had the unpopular opinion, but I wasn't afraid to have the unpopular opinion. You know, like I would say, you know, I like Big Pun more than I like Biggie's Boss. And that was hugely unpopular, but I was always arguing it. So I kind of took it kind of like, you know, as if I'm going to be the villain and all these stuff, this is fine. You know, this is what's real to me. This is why. And on the flip side, I remember being someone who
can't hear you, brother.
Like Lil Wayne is going to be one of the best artists, and then 10 years later, he becomes one. So that's why I picked the name, because it was like it resonated with me of not being afraid to just say what you think in music and not follow the pattern already there for you.
Well, I think that you got – that's awesome. I love that, and I'm into really deep stuff, and that's hence my name. But it's where, you know, I think that you know, it, for all you guys that are out there listening, you know, thank you guys for sharing this and stuff, but you guys really need to go support him, because I can already tell as an artist, you know what I mean, I haven't been doing this very long, and I wasn't reading the dictionary at 12 years old, you know, and now, you know, so you guys should just, you know, if nothing else, that's something that you can support, as, you know, someone that was reading the dictionary at 12 years old. So definitely, what are your social media pages? What's your guys' social media pages so they can follow you?
So for a lot of people, you know, I want to make a statement real quick so everybody understands. Me, Eldorado, the homie Chris, we're all actually solo artists, you know. But we work so closely together that sometimes people think we're a group. So we do everything together, but we all have individual albums that we all put out this year. Mine being mostly Me Too. Eldorado Jones put out Medicine and the Candy, which you guys mentioned earlier. The homie Chris put out Chico's Loose Footage Volume 1. So all of those projects, please check them out. For social media purposes, my name, as I mentioned, Psychosis, is S-Y-C-O-S-I-S, and that's pretty much on everything. That's everything from Twitter to Instagram. But I also have a Pandora station that you can look up my music and add my Pandora, Spotify. And then we have music, as Eldorado mentioned, that's been placed in network television shows, from Law & Order SVU to commercials. So that's how you can find me, and somehow they can find you.
I'm everywhere at LDORADOJONEZ. Again, LDORADOJONEZ. It's basically Eldorado with no E and Jones with a Z. That's everywhere. Everywhere from Snapchat, Instagram, Facebook, your mom's closet, I don't know, wherever you want to search for me, it's Eldorado Jones.
Your mom's closet.
You did.
That kind of take us to Trap Map, you know. Oh, snap. You know, Eldorado, I got to admit, I'm a fan. If I wasn't a fan, I'm truly a fan.
I appreciate
even that,
that
much more now when I see you filming the season one. I think you just dropped, what, episode 3?
Yeah, episode 3 of Riding Out with Eldorado.
You know, why don't you let the listeners know what correlated that thought? Because I got to tell you, man, I was hooked from the first episode of season 1. What took Eldorado Jones on that journey?
Man, it was all about, for those who don't know what Don is talking about, I have a series, Riding Out with Eldorado, and it's me navigating through the streets in and around Chicago. I'm all through Chicagoland, and it's really a play on the whole rideshare culture that we have right now. Everybody's catching a ride with some kind of platform, right? So with me, I took advantage, and I take different riders throughout Chicago, and I introduce them to my world. We listen to music from either myself, or I'll play some Psychosis music, some homie Chris music, and we really get to have a mobile, informal talk show, because if you check out any of the episodes, I'm definitely not leading the conversation. These are real people that are letting their hair down, and as we ride listening to some great tunes, I get a chance to kind of hop in the conversations that they're already having with their friends. And it really gives me a chance to meet some interesting people from around here. Some people I've met in later episodes will show people that have been traveling internationally. So I got people from overseas in various countries that all get to share their story, and we just have a slice of time and just kind of wow out for a few minutes. It's really longer than a few minutes, but I try to condense it because everybody's attention span is kind of warped nowadays. I don't want to give you too much, so we'll keep it to, like, you know, 3 and 5 minute episodes. But it's really just me traveling with various travelers and taking you into a night of my life and really having fun with these people and just seeing where the conversation takes us, man. Everything from safety words to people having brownouts and blackouts and and drinking too much.
To pickle.
Man, that was
double decker bus.
Right. You know, to my listeners, you know, I kind of want to explain it. It's like True Taxi Cab Confessions, but the hood style.
But way cooler.
Yeah. This is great.
It's hood Taxi Cab Confession with hip hop in the backdrop. That's it.
Yeah.
Don, you just wrote our tagline. You just wrote the tagline, Don.
Well, you know, I want my listeners to know, because they need to check it out, because it truly is instrumental in the aspect of who you gentlemen are in the industry. You know, I think it's a tremendous facet that you play, you know, all of your boys' music during these episodes. But what happens is the correlation between you and the people in your ride, they let their guard down. They become at one with you. And, you know, it's intriguing because you see a different facet of life letting their guard down. And what that showed me in reality is that people truly can be colorblind. People can all come together from different walks of life and be bound together by music. And I think that's the tremendous facet of it.
Absolutely. You hit the nail right on the head, man. And the conversations quite often that are not captured by the camera are sometimes greater than what we actually get to capture. I had a conversation on business development with a gentleman from South Africa before that I just didn't get to capture, but it was amazing. I had a conversation with a gentleman from Pakistani descent who I believe was from Washington, D.C., but visiting Chicago, and we're having a socioeconomic conversation. It's just that we blow your mind. It's to piggyback your point, it's a great opportunity to be a part of and also witness people being people. And I think so often with our entertainment now, we get to see people being characters of people instead of people just being people. And that's something I really want to bring to the forefront. It's kind of doing what reality TV advertises but doesn't, man. I want to bring people being people to the forefront, because if we see ourselves as people and we see that we're more alike than different, that kind of tears down a lot of the walls that have been put up over generations, and it kind of takes away some of the sting of you wanting to meet somebody who may come from a different walk of life, may come from a different culture, but you guys can still find a commonality, a common ground, and be civil. And, hell, sometimes you just get to rock out and have a crazy-ass conversation, and that's that, but that's still beautiful. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's keeping it real. You know, we're going to drop another track, and when we come back, I'm going to let Steve pick up on the questioning. We're going to drop Warned right now.
Myself, people like Ice Cube, Public Enemy, have predicted this situation. And we've been shut off by the radio stations and the media, you know, as being just black kids yelling. We yelled about police brutality. We yelled about the gang situation.
Ice Cube, Warner, Ice Cube, Warner. Quick, go bean your ass. Why can't you see they declared war on us? Chuck D, Warner, KRS. Wonder, quick, go beam your ass. Why can't you see they declared war on us? Tupac, Wonder, Ghetto Boys, Wonder, quick, go beam your ass. Why can't you see they declared war on us? Goody Mob, Wonder, Dead Prez, Wonder, quick, go beam your ass. Why can't you see they declared war on us? Two Chainz Eddie gon' be fresh in case the vest is watching. The Edward Snowden showed us them vest is always watching. You gon' need more than just a handy chance to save you from a teddy man. Oh man, your wrist and they cuffin' your life in their hands. Rat, now wonder who's gonna be next. Dog ass cop with a Glock complex. Flex, chip on his shoulder, he's looking to flex. Flex, head on his gun and his foot on your neck. Majority of minorities get targeted by authorities who lie about this war on drugs and the system to create stuff. I don't fall for the okie doke. I'ma tell the stone, I'ma tell the folks, I'ma tell the Lord, I'ma tell the king. From the B's and C's, we the same. Ice T, Wonder, Ice Cube, Wonder. Quick, go beam your ass. Why can't you see they declared war on us? Chuck D, Wonder.
Man, I found myself getting caught up in it. Almost played a little bit too much of it for the people.
Hey, and I gotta say, shout out. That song was produced by none other than Po. Shout out to Po, aka Pootie Earl, on the production of that song "Warned Us," which I feel unfortunately is more relevant right now than ever with everything that's been going on and in the news with another person being assassinated by paid law enforcement. And that's probably going to be my next video that we're releasing hopefully within a month. We're actually on set right now shooting the video for Psychosis' song "Round the Clock," which is another track that I think we're going to premiere today on the show.
Yeah, we are. Yeah, we fit.
We're busy, man. We're busy. And a shout out.
Y'all killing it.
Man, I appreciate you. Shout out real quick. The homie Chris is going to be world premiere tomorrow of his incredible visual for his song "Hole in My Heart," which is, it's, man, people who are familiar with the homie Chris, this song and this video is going to have you looking at him in a whole new light of just artistry and depth. What he did with this song and with this video is so much depth and so many layers. It's tackling depression, it's tackling suicide, and tackling mental health issues. Some talking points that are in the news and hip hop and the blogosphere daily nowadays, but he's putting his truth to it, and hopefully that's going to get a lot of views and some awareness behind that. So shout out to the homie Chris. We're waiting for "Hole in My Heart," which will debut tomorrow. If not, there's going to be some problems.
Right.
We know it's coming.
You know, it's funny, before I toss it over to Steve, you know, the first, me and the homie Chris, man, we was boys from day one, you know, and I'm
23
years old. In my life, I just never have met anybody that, like, from day one, we was family.
Same here.
I could say him, Dean, and Pootie Earl, about the only three people that I could truly say that, you know, and El Dorado, you know, the first time I had you on the show, I was captivated, and, you know, we've been friends ever since, man. We've been fam.
Absolutely.
And that's the way
that
it should be. Life is beautiful,
man. And I agree.
Man.
It is, man. You know what? I believe people complicate it, man. Life is kind of simple. It's kind of simple, man. It can be beautiful if we let it be.
Most definitely. Steve?
Yeah, I like your guys' sound, and I respect the talent, you know what I mean, and your guys' mission, really, you know. So, and I feel like there's a lot of people out there that'll connect with you guys and have connected with you guys over this show. I think it's been a great show. And Don, I thank you for bringing me on.
That's
an honor. You know what I mean? You truly are a legend. I don't think that you get as much respect as really you deserve, because you are a legend.
Absolutely.
And you're a great guy. So. Thank you for putting this together, really, because I think it kind of changed. Maybe if this show could have, you know, wide range of changes that are good for humanity, and I'm on Team Humanity. So, but to El Dorado and Psychosis, this is kind of a couple questions in one, but I don't know if it's where you guys do shows all together or not, you know, but do you have any upcoming shows? And what's the best way that people out there that have connected with your guys' messages in this, what's the best way they could support you? And I know that there's people all across the country now and world that have heard your music and have connected in some way. So how can they book you?
Oh, man.
Yeah. Well, let me jump in on that one. It was, you know,
great, great.
The easiest way to check live shows is through our website, gtsmusic.com. And on the gtsmusic.com, it's a bio, it's links to my current videos, it's links to all three of our albums in one place, because we want to make it easy for the consumers to catch us and associate with us. But we also keep a calendar of up-and-coming events that we have going on, from the album release parties to, you know, the video releases to live shows. So gtsmusic.com will give you a full calendar of everything that we got coming up. We're currently in the middle of something we call the 3-Man Weave Tour, and it kind of speaks of what we've been talking about, you know, this whole time. of we kind of play off each other and we feed off each other. And we try to do the same thing on stage because let's just say you're the homie Chris fan, and then it's like, okay, I know the homie Chris, but I don't know these guys. So we're only going to, you know, support or stay. You know, you guys go to a live show. People stay for the people they know and they leave for everybody else. So we said, you know, the way we're going to combat that is we're going to perform a set that mixes up our songs together. So people don't know what's coming next, and it's not just this one person. And that's also a challenge for us to keep the energy up, to keep the show good, and to keep the music good because you know that it's only based off the music because people don't even know who is coming up next. So that's just something we do. Also, something I also forgot to mention earlier with El Dorado, one thing we didn't say is that we also direct each other's videos. So the video he's talking about tomorrow, like we direct, film, and produce each other's videos. We're really a part of each other's music in every way and facet. And as far as booking us, all our booking information, like I said, is available on our website, gtsmusic.com. And you can reach out to either one of us, like I said, through social media to find us. We love to come tear your stage apart and smash your microphones.
And the next upcoming show is actually going to be October 14th. October 14th, we'll be at the Canopy Club, which is in Urbana.
It's Urbana, yeah.
Urbana, Illinois. Right off the campus of U of I. So right outside of U of I, we're going to be tearing it down in celebration of their homecoming. It's their homecoming weekend, so that's going to be crazy. You guys just come out. We're going to tear the stage up, perform some of these songs, and have a grand old time. It's going to be October 14th.
I love it, man. Steve, you got anything else you want to add, brother?
Man, I got to say, I checked out some of your guys' visuals and stuff, and with you guys directing it yourselves, it's you know, props, because you guys' visuals for videos, you could tell that you guys have talent and that you guys put effort into it, you know what I mean? So props
that.
To you guys, you know what I mean?
Appreciate
like, on the Bogging with Steve side, I've got multiple social media personalities, I guess, at this point. But on the Bogging with Steve side, I also interview artists and things like that, and I say that you're Bogging with Steve approved.
Hey, man,
we appreciate that.
We really
Amen.
Do. And hopefully we
can
do it
again. I definitely
want to
network with you guys. I think that I can get you guys in some places here in Indiana. And
that was my next
if
point.
You guys
Absolutely.
Want to see that, if you guys
Absolutely.
Want to see them in your area or in Indiana, go make a post. You know what I mean? Like, and just tag a local venue and make a post and say, I want these guys here, and then have everybody share it. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
Like I said, we the people can change this industry. It just depends if people want to be a part of changing that or not.
I wholeheartedly agree. Thank you, Steve. Let's do it again. And I definitely see us networking and making some things work in the very near future. Absolutely.
You know, I want to jump in here real quick. And, you know, Psychosis, I kind of want to peel back the layers. I did this the first time a little bit on El Dorado when we had him on the first episode.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I kind of want to pull back the letters. You know, you look at where you come off from, the way you spoke of, you know, and then you correlated yourself into this movement. You know, when you look at yourself, not only as an artist, but as a man, what have you gained from this walk moving forward, brother?
Man, so I think the best piece of pride that I have working with the brothers we mentioned today is that there's a lot of artists where, as Steve mentioned, like people get caught up in a persona or a character, and they never get to just be who they are. And so I think with us, the biggest thing we've gained is merging our real lives with who we are as artists. And so it's not like if you meet Psychosis and you meet Eric, they're two different people. You know, this stuff I'm saying in my song and the stuff I do every day in the world is the same guy. So outside of music, for those who know me, I work in the Cook County Jail every day. I'm there helping people get in tune with education programs, rehabilitation programs, get counseling, get therapy. And there's also a music program inside the jail where I help mentor some guys on how to become artists, how to create music.
And so I think for me, all of the struggle and all of the BS that we had to go and overcome and triumph through to figure out and pave ways just turns into motivation we're able to turn back and give to somebody else. Both of us spent a lot of time speaking to children, whether it be career days or speaking, you know, in classrooms. And then we're both just kind of the type of people that people, you know, lean to convince you from time to time about different things. So I think that's the biggest thing that I gain from it is being able to, as you do, Don, like connecting the music and the culture with actual life and humanity. And for me, music is therapy. You know, it's therapy, but it's also a challenge. I get to go in a different space, different place, and it changes my mood and changes my life. But it's also what I learned from it that I try to share with people, like the discipline of it, you know, the relentless keep going, keep going, keep going. Don't be afraid to fail. You know, the intro to my album is called Ain't Nobody Coming because I want to reiterate to myself every time I turn on my album, stop waiting for a label, stop waiting for somebody to come out the sky and offer you millions of dollars to do some stuff you make and do yourself. And it's just kind of what the attitude we've taken on, like, we got to directing our own videos because we ran out of money to pay other people to do it. And so we were like, okay, what do we want to do? We want to stop? No. Let's buy a camera and learn how to do it ourselves. And that's what happened. And that's just kind of the attitude we've been trying to, you know, as we become DIY artists. And I think the biggest part of it is that term underground used to have a negative connotation. You know, I challenge anybody to put our album up next to anybody in this entire industry and try to say that it doesn't sonically sound just as good, that the music isn't just as good, mixing and mastering. So we took a lot of pride in being professional, you know what I mean, and also being global. And El Dorado riding with El Dorado shows that, you know, like he's riding around with people who may not even listen to hip-hop, and he's able to reach them through, you know, how professional, but also how down to earth he is, you know. So that's what I want to do. That's what I want to continue to build on. That's what I want to continue to improve on.
Most definitely. You know, brother, me and you got one thing in common. I never smile on pictures either, and there was a picture that was captured not too long ago of you smiling, and I've seen quite a few comments saying, you know, psychosis never smiles. How did you get him to smile? Brother, I know the feeling, brother. I know the struggle. You know, I'm going to do something.
It's funny. People get me twisted. You know, I don't smile a lot, but it's not because I'm actually silly a lot in real life. Most of the time, if I'm not talking, I'm thinking. So that's normally my thinking face. You know what I mean? If you catch me in the picture, you know, right before, right after, I probably was contemplating something. So people have to remind me, hey, you know, it's cool to smile. And also, you know, we come from a place where, you know, sometimes you just get that natural look. But in real life, man, we are real approachable people, man. So, hey, absolutely.
I'm the same way, bro. I just, you know, I don't feel like smiling at work. I'm at a cage every weekend. I do 5-6 shows a week. But what I'm going to do today, I'm going to do something a little bit different because – both of you are very tremendous in what you do. Both of you have an ear. You know talent when you see it. You know, last year I found three artists. All three of them got signed. All three of them are on tour right now. I found a new artist, and I'm going to play a snippet of his music just for a second before we play your song, Psychosis. And I want to get your thoughts, both of you, on what you think of this new artist that I found. Is that cool with y'all?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Can you hear me? Hey. My G killing with the
West Side.
Hey, let's show them how to do it. Stoves. Hard stand. Cheese. Relative. Come on. Let's kill them on this one. Show these youngsters how to do it, yeah, cause they doing it wrong, we doing it right, hey, shout out Hart fam, this coming from the Hart fam, but that
nigga Daniel, we pull up in the dark van. 18 hopping on no bed like we parachuters, minivan hopping out. I got a parachute, call them both Yosemite Sam. They got a pair of Rubens, iron sharpens on. Yeah, but first you gotta forge a fire. Ever been back in the corner and been forced to fight? We're shooting at your roof, we ain't aiming for your tires. Yeah, we're putting the booth all day, all night. Yeah, we never tired. This ain't a homicide, homie, be cool. Just a lyrical assassination in the booth. Get it? Assassination bloop. Then I blew the top off of the Lincoln and I'm speeding through. I got the real spitters, it's a melee. Yeah, I'm nutty with these bars, call me Payday. Got 'em, cash out.
I'm gonna start with you first, Psychosis. What are your thoughts?
You know, my first thing, he reminds me, his flow and delivery, he reminds me sort of Ritz a little bit, strange music for him. Definitely, you know, caught me right away with the Love and Happiness sample and the delivery. You know, I think he got a little swag and a little aggressiveness to him. So I want to hear more, you know what I mean? I want to hear where he goes with different sounds and different productions. But that was my initial thought. You know, kind of reminded me of course, somebody like Ritz, who has a huge independent following, you know, and he definitely got the ability to do that.
El Dorado?
And I'm going to say, as my brother just said, first and foremost, you can't go wrong with that sample. So once I heard that, which is my favorite Al Green song, is in my top 10 songs of all time, I was already rocking with it, trying to see where he's going to take it. I agree. I like the it was some twang. Now, can you tell me where the artist is from?
Yeah, 916 from Cali.
Okay.
Really?
Okay.
He from the left coast? Cause he had some twang to it. So I didn't know if it was Southern Missouri or somewhere around the Midwest. Cause he definitely got that. It was a Midwest bounce to it. So he got some money in the Midwest coming if he can book some shows out here, because
right. Hey, the thing about it is he only been in the business. He left the fight industry and has only been doing music for a year now. That was his first sample. You know what? Matter of fact, I'll play another quick excerpt because he changes his style so much that, I mean, it's just crazy. I'm going to play another little excerpt and then I'll get your advice too, Steve.
Hey, smooth. Volume up. Turn it up, yeah, that part. All bass, no treble, yeah, that part. You hear the motherfucking strings, yeah, that part. I'm just in it for the cream, yeah, that part. I grew up with hood dreams, yeah, that part. So I want a hood thing, yeah, that part. Must have the mayo on gold things, that part. Cuban link, pinky ring, yeah, that part. Thick ass bankroll, yeah, that part. Hella thick assholes, yeah, that part. Feel like Tupac fresh out, spitting on you niggas. Or something like a dyke, I'm spitting on you kittens.
I tell you, man, homie got layers,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, man. I'm
I'd like
that,
to hook
Jack.
Him up with y'all if y'all don't mind.
Yeah, please do. Please do.
Oh, yeah,
man.
We're definitely down with that, man. We actually just visited L.A. Out in July. I was in L.A. for the first time. So I'm definitely looking to go back soon, and we'd love to collab. I got other partners out there, artists that we work with out there, so that'll be a dope collab.
Yeah, man. Let's do that. Let's make that happen.
Yeah, I'll make that happen.
Let's make
Steve,
that happen.
What are your thoughts on it, man?
I'm just super real. I was feeling the first one a little bit more. I like the beats. I don't think I could rap to those beats, really. The wordplay on the first one is what really kind of got me hooked. Just how it was kind of like, you're like, where's he going with this? You know what I mean? Is it going to be another shoot 'em up, bang, bang song? And then it was like, no, I'm just assassinating lyrically and stuff. And I'm into
mm-hmm.
lyrics, you know what I mean? So I was definitely digging that.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's what it's all about, man. You know, it's about bringing the world together. You know, I always state this statement and I'll state it again. You know, Martin Luther King was the last person to ever stand up for the people. And I think what's missing in today's society is that true relevant man or figure. that can truly bring people together. And I think with shows like this, being able to bring El Dorado Jones, Psychosis, and you, Steve, we're collabing three different worlds into my world. And we're showing people that we can all come together, whether we have an agreement, disagreement, we can all still get along at the end of a program. And see, what that shows the world, that there ain't got to be no hate. We could disagree and agree, but still walk away being one. And I think if we can find somebody to stand up and speak for the people, I think the world will be a much better place. You know, what are your thoughts on that, El Dorado?
Now, I think that it's going to take the people in their own individual lives to take that same philosophy and apply it. Every movement starts small. So that same spirit that you just spoke on that Dr. King had, the continuation is for the individuals to carry it on. Because in his in one of his speeches, he said, well, I believe it was I have a dream about being to the mountaintop. He's been there. He might not make it with you guys, but that doesn't mean you can't keep on going. So I believe that now we are in a place where, as Steve was saying, the people have to find that leadership even within themselves and move in that direction. When we buy into individuals, if that individual ceases to exist, the movement loses steam and loses power. But when that spirit prevails throughout the people, no matter what individuals fall to the wayside or are taken out, that spirit lives on and is carried on. That's what I like to see. I like to see a real spread of that type of spirit of, hey, we can find that common ground, find that commonality within humanity, and keep pushing that forward. That's going to be the key to us all really seeing the next phase of this human existence, because we can do it. We can do it.
Yeah. You know, with that being said, you know, if Martin Luther King would have stood up and said, "If I had a dream," nah, he said, "I have a dream."
Absolutely.
So take that relevance, man. You know what? We're going to bump a little bit of Psychosis. And then we're going to come back and I'll let Steve ask you a couple more questions and then I'll wrap things up.
Please enter your passcode, then press pound. One new message, 7 saved messages.
Hello? Still on this, huh? That's cool. I mean, you know, whenever you're ready to talk, I'm here.
Round the clock we go. We've been here before. Afraid of losing you, running out of town. See you at the door. All my texts ignored. Why are we at war? Yeah, you are my heart. Yeah, you are my heart. Now it's on the floor. Round the clock we go. We've been here before. Afraid of losing you, running out of town. See you at the door. All my texts ignored.
I know you got my text,
know you got it.
I read the re-receipt.
True.
I'm trying to understand why you undermine what we need to be.
Why?
Oh, this ain't all my fault. Yeah, I said some reckless things. But I came back to you, I ran back to you. And drama that it brings, girl got me open, she know it. Hella emotional, close to you, try not to show it. Feel like I'm drinking and driving. I'm about to rip out my heart for the sake of surviving. Fuck all these feelings, I'm done. Fuck all these feelings, I'm numb. Fuck all these feelings, I feel like you know we the one. I feel like you know when you won. So we keep on arguing about nothing for sake of discussion. Because you accustomed to getting your way. And I'm supposed to take it like your word is sacred. Then you turn around, try to ruin my day for a reaction. How about this when I'm leaving? Pack my shit and I'm breathing. You gon' call me this evening. Triple time when you're breathing. Tears on your tongue, you can eat them.
Then an hour go by, 2 hours go by, 12 hours go by, my phone's still dry and I'm wondering why. Just check it again.
I said check it again.
I write this message, delete this message, fuck it, press in.
Around the clock we go.
Damn, psychosis? Damn. What were your thoughts, man, when you put that out on paper? Because that's deep.
Man, as I mentioned to you earlier, man, I think my biggest strong point is diversity. So my goals when I go into albums is that the next song doesn't sound like the previous song, but it still sounds like the same person from a different angle. And so if you hear that song first, the next time you hear me, you're going to hear something different. You know, I try to switch flow and delivery and all of that. So that song right there, why it's so powerful to me is because it combines what I was telling you guys about my whole music journey. Like, I was an MC battle rapper type guy, and I kept those worlds separate of, like, you know, the singing stuff that I grew up doing. As I got older, I got more comfortable and more confident of how I could combine those things. So I'm telling you this story, you know, it's about me being in a relationship, and I'm essentially becoming like the stalker trying to get her to respond. And it's a very emotional song, but it's also harmony. Like, you can sing along to it, but then it's from a male's perspective about why a relationship isn't working. So I was like, how can I make a story that we all relate to? Because as guys, we all sit around sometimes and complain about our relationships too. We just don't want nobody to know it. But how can I make this relatable that men and women can both relate to this song about relationships and see themselves going back and forth between all these emotions, like, you know, depression, anger, all these things you go through when you're trying to figure out, you know, if you want to keep it going, if you break up. That's what my music is about to me. Like, how can I capture something real and emotion and also be vulnerable to make you feel like you know me? You know, like, I remember listening to Kanye West saying he was in the Gap folding pants, and I really felt like I knew him. He told me that. And then, you know, so those type of things, like, you know, how will I give you a piece of me while also reflecting you when I make this song? So that's kind of what that song's about.
Steve, I'm going to toss it to Steve. Steve, got a couple more, and then I'll wrap things up here, brother.
Yeah, you guys have really, like, really sparked my interest with just the multifaceted stuff that you guys are doing, you know. And I want to go back to a little bit, like, the working at the Cook County Jail and doing music there. And, like, how has that made you, you know what I mean? Because as an artist, like, we, you know, I put real stuff into my lyrics. I could tell you do as well, you know. But, like, how's that changed you as, you know, a person to, you know, has that helped your mission on humanity? You know what I mean? To see the amount of effect that you've had just within that one program of one of your multifaceted ventures.
You know, what it is, you know, when me and Elle started this Greater Than Self thing, and it reminds me of the movie Social Network, right, when they kept talking about what they were going to do with Facebook, and then they kept saying, well, we don't even know what it is yet. You know, like, don't change it. We already know it's great, but we don't know what it is yet. And I think we approached Greater Than Self the same way. Like, we wanted it to be a company, but we don't know what it is yet. It's not quite a label. It's not a non-for-profit. It doesn't fit in a box yet. It's not really any of those things. We're trying to do something more. And so in that, we do a lot of things. Like, in making that tour, we became temporary managers and promoters for other artists that we never really saw ourselves doing that, but that's what happened. Because we were, you know, we were the voice that they wanted somebody to represent them. It was almost like we became an artist union, which is something that I've been thinking about a lot lately. Because El Dorado, being an actor, a SAG actor, you know, music is one of the few art forms or genres or lines of work where there is no collective bargaining. There is no, that's part of the issue of why there's all this pay to play. But to get back to the question you were asking me, what I've learned from it is I've been a mentor to guys that aren't that much younger than me that are looking to my voice to help them improve theirs. So one other thing that's missing in music now is artist development. Like, people aren't trying to grow raw talent and make it better talent. There's a guy in the jail, his name is DeAndre Morris, 26 years old, and he's a phenomenal lyricist. All he's ever done before he got into this program was make, you know, little mixtapes on his laptop, you know, by himself. And now he, you know, we've been helping him become an audio engineer, you know, learning how to use Pro Tools, how to record other people. And then now that he has that in his back pocket, he's able to hear his music different. He's able to write different because he can anticipate where the hook should be, where the chorus should be. So that part of what I've been doing helps me because it helps me see this is something people actually really need and want. Like, we all need and want some kind of big brother in this music industry. We all need and want validation of what's actually good and what, you know, what actually is meaningful and what, and this part of art and this genre has been overlooked by the mainstream. You know, the vulnerability, the growth, the intricate wordplay, it's almost been talked down as if it's a bad thing. So it helps keep me, you know, it helps give me courage to keep going because these guys, literally DeAndre is living off of it. He's waiting to see me every Tuesday and Wednesday. He's hyped. He's waited his whole week so he can let me hear his next verse. And this is another, you know, this is not a little kid. This is a grown man whose life right now I'm able to help make a little bit better just by being with him for a few hours. So it's a phenomenal feeling, man, and I'm grateful for it.
That's awesome. I support that. I will do, Don, if you don't mind, and I don't know how this will come through, if it's possible that we do it, but I want to see if I can play just a little bit of one of my songs and get what they think of it.
Oh, go ahead,
please.
Bro.
All right, so it's playing through my Bump Box. Big shout out to Bump Box out of California. It's a big, it's awesome. Just go check them out. But here we go.
Hip hop meets the Midwest rap movement.
Let's go.
This is kind of like trigger music, really. I think. Part an individual stand proud. Be clear and stop. Come see my little friend, he's gonna leave it still. Kinda fucking hate it. We've been living for too long. Side of your revolution. Kinda need to make you ask. Don't lie to the government. No propaganda. Kind of prophecy. Die when it's all just brothers and sisters. The destiny shows up. Everybody if we're reading. The list of rules is never ending. The freedom. You need to return to the top. Don't do it. Wanna know me.
I'm loving the bounce to it. I could barely hear it. Send me a link when we get off the air, man. Shoot me a link to that. If it's anywhere I can check it out, I'd like to check it out.
Definitely, Boggin with Steve on YouTube. Boggin with Steve on YouTube. It's the new Revere, and
I'll send him the link, bro. Just send me the link, and I'll send it to El Dorado, homie.
Please,
definitely,
absolutely, I heard you spitting. I wanted to hear the words, but I definitely could hear you spitting. But yeah, I think it's dope, man. And honestly, what I like about this the most is that I think for all of us, people don't expect hip hop artists to be intellectual or introspective. You know, like, people don't expect us to be able to have a conversation like this and also be the same guy you hear on the record. So I appreciate Don for giving us a platform to do this, man. But also,
absolutely,
it speaks to the fact that there's a lot of people, you know, there's a lot of people that just get overlooked of being really real around the artists, and I don't want people to forget that we're here, we exist, we never left, and we're still working hard and grinding. So, man, salute to you, brother.
Most definitely.
True indeed.
And I appreciate you playing that, Steve. I want to leave this show on a couple notes real quick. You know, I learned in life that if we were all colorblind, there would be no difference. And I think each and every person should take away from this show that four different aspects of life have correlated themselves on this show together. We shared two of the greatest aspects of the underground movement and the industry on today's show. There's so much layers to both of these gentlemen that I couldn't possibly share them. You know, we scheduled the show for an hour. Here we already are an hour and a half into it, and I could talk for another 2 hours with you guys.
Same here.
But you know, we know life don't roll that way. But I kind of want to take it on another note on finishing things up. You know, because you, El Dorado, you and me kind of have something in common there. Spike Lee told me one time, you know, fake friends are like pennies. They're two-faced and worthless. And
wow.
And you know,
absolutely.
If you look at that quote, I mean that's as true as it gets, right?
Yep.
Well, I mean, so when you look back and you did that film with Spike Lee, what type of knowledge did he share with you that you were able to take forward in life, my brother?
Man, one of the biggest things that that I gained from Spike personally isn't even what he said. It was watching him on set, watching him be a director, and before the camera's rolling, he's pacing and he's walking in circles around the set. And you know, I'm an actor, I'm a young actor, so I'm trying still have my lines and where I'm going to be at. I'm concentrating on that, but at the corner of my eye, at the peripheral, or in my peripheral, I'm watching him pace and really map everything out. And I took that away for when we shoot videos and some of the other visuals that we have planned in the future, of just watching him and kind of mastermind and map everything out. So once that film is rolling, once that camera's going, you're not wasting anything. You're going forward with that vision. And really, since we all know Spike Lee has a tremendous he is a tremendous personality. And if you just watch a basketball game with the Knicks playing, you would swear that he's shouting at everybody at every turn. And it was nothing like that. Here is a gentleman who's a general on the set of any movie that he's a part of. He's a general, and he's not raising his voice to anybody. I didn't hear the man shout once. You have an image of what power is, and we think that sometimes you have to be the loudest person in the room to be the most powerful, or you have to be the one beating your chest. And Don, I'm sure you've seen this with guys in that cage, and sometimes it's the one talking the most mess, talking the most shit, if I could say, and they get taken out with a roundhouse first couple minutes. It's not about who can be the loudest, who can beat their chest. It's about who has a vision, not just for themselves, but for every player on the board, and who can execute that vision the most efficient, or who can execute it properly with the fewest number of moves and just effortlessly. And that's really what I got from him: effortless leadership, effortless leadership. Knowing how to put everybody in the right position, knowing how to delegate. He's got PDs and APs around him helping out, and no one is getting their toes stepped on because of leadership from the top. That same accountability but efficiency is going down throughout the crew, throughout cast, so that vision and that leadership without having to be a brute. But just effective leadership is one of the greatest lessons I learned watching the man direct.
That's definitely, you know, what I take away from that is God gave us two ears and a one mouth for a reason.
Talk about it.
He definitely demonstrates that. You know, I'm truly honored that y'all joined the show today, man. Y'all are truly family. Psychosis, I've heard so much about you. It was truly an honor for me to finally get you on the show, you know, because last time we wanted to, things just got abruptly done, and we weren't able to have you on, but it was truly an honor and a pleasure. So I'm going to hand the mic over to you for a second. If there's anything you'd like to shout out before we let you go off the show today, my brother, the floor is yours.
Absolutely. Again, as I already said, man, I appreciate you making this effort to get me on the show. You know, yourself and Steve and El Dorado, us having this great conversation that hopefully, you know, the listeners take your advice and download it and go back and circulate on this game later, because I think that's what this is all about. But what I just want to say is, you know, for the artists, because I personally feel like I end up talking to artists a lot anyway. And I want to say for the artists that a lot of times we're looking for motivation, right? And you watch your favorite artists, it feels like they always.
You broke up, brother.
I just want people to just.
You broke up.
Gentleness is still. Oh, sorry about that. I just want to know for the artists that they know to just, they're the missing step. You know, be the missing step yourself as much as possible. Don't limit yourself in what you can and can't do, even financially. Me and Eldorado Jones made Greater Than Self for LLC. And with that, able to open up a business line and get a business line of credit. So even without money, there's ways to potentially do what you're trying to do, but you also have to be willing and not afraid to fail. Like it's a lot of stuff we try to do that won't work, and so we have to accept that and keep going for the next thing. So I think that's ultimately the message I want people to hear, whether it's somebody I meet in that jail tomorrow, or whether it's somebody, you know, that's listening to me or our music, you know. Try to be your own next step as much as possible. Share what you learn with other people, and be willing to fail and keep going if you can.
Amen to that, brother. Eldorado?
Yo, yo. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Man, I'm humbled, man. Don, it's always a pleasure to speak to you, brother. It's always great to talk to like-minded individuals, man. Steve, it was MK Ultra. It was great meeting you and talking to you today, man. And hey, the conversation doesn't stop here. We keep it moving. We keep it going in our daily lives, man. And everybody can check me out, as I said earlier, at LDORADOJONEZ. That's at Eldorado Jones on every platform. You can find Psychosis at SYCOSIS every platform. Holler at the homie Chris at THEHOMIECHRIS. He actually has the easiest name, the homie Chris. It's genius. But I want everybody to meet him tomorrow.
Yeah, you tell that boy I want my shirt.
Absolutely, man. I absolutely will. And he's got a new his new video for Hole in My Heart. Hole in My Heart. It's going to be the music is going to be actually available. The song's going to be available tomorrow as well. And the video is premiering tomorrow for Hole in My Heart. It's a tremendous record. I'm excited. We got our next show, October 14th, is going to be down at the Canopy Club, Urbana, Illinois. And, man, you're going to see a lot of great things coming from these three artists, Eldorado Jones, Psychosis, the homie Chris, in the next coming months into next year. You're going to see we're going to be launching the three-man weave tour a little larger. Right now we've had a few spot dates, but the actual tour is coming full force, coming 2019. So stay tuned with us, man. We got big things going on. Thank you again, Don. Thanks to you.
Hey, no problems, man. Always, man. You fam. Steve, would you like to say your farewells?
Yeah, it was a pleasure meeting you guys or talking with you guys. For you guys out there that think that we may have talked before this, no, this is just raw humanity taking place before your ears.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, to the listeners out there, the people that have come across this and downloaded this, thank you. You can find me on YouTube at Boggin' with Steve, Instagram, Boggin' with Steve, Facebook, Boggin' with Steve, or MK Ultra. You know, I think that together, if we all support artists like this, that you guys believe in the message, and I believe in your guys' message, you know what I mean? So I feel honored to be a part of this conversation, and Don, thank you for putting this all together, man. I think that you changed the world, you don't even know it.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Much respect. You know, my grandfather always taught me, you know, people may call you a legend, but that doesn't mean nothing. Doing legendary things is all that matters. If you can change one life, change one dream, you know, you can create find a destiny and a path for people in life to follow. And, you know, people might say, oh, it's too late in time. But in reality, it's never too late. We just have to correlate and come together as one, because we control this place, not the politicians, not the people that hate, but we control it. We control our lives. We control our destiny. So believe
Absolutely.
In yourself and believe in others and give without expectations. On that note, I want to thank everybody for joining the show today. It truly has been an honor, man. And Eldorado, I'll hook you up with that artist, and I'll get Steve's links over to you.
Please
on that
do.
Note,
please do.
Much love. Much love.
Appreciate you, brother. Peace and love. Thank
Peace
you.
And love. Peace and love, Psychosis.
Peace and love, brother. Appreciate y'all.
All right. Y'all have a good day now.
Yes, sir.
Peace. Hey, Steve, I tell you what, man.
Yeah. I got one
two
thing
of the most
I want to
tremendous.
Say.
What's that?
Is are we still on?
Yeah.
Okay. I got one thing that, you know, speaking of legends, you know what I mean? Like, I know that this is the fighter's voice, and there's a lot of people out there in the world. And I you know, as I was growing up in my 20s, I'm a little bit older now, but I was a huge, huge, huge MMA fan. And then it kind of just got old. And the Chuck Liddell fight that's coming up, thank you, Golden Boy, for bringing it back out, because it's brought me, other than Conor McGregor, really, it's brought me back into being a fan of the MMA world, you know what I mean? And I don't know if a lot of people connect with that. That's just my personal story. So thank you for Golden Boy to that. There's a shout-out to you. And, Chuck, I'm with you, man. You inspired me to fight in a different way, you know what I mean, and fight lyrically. So good luck, and I can't wait to see it.
Most definitely. On that note, I want to thank everybody for tuning in. I appreciate it to each and every one of you, to my guests, Eldorado Jones, Psychosis, you, Steve. Man, it's been a tremendous show. On that note, I'm going to take us out with a little bit of Eldorado. Have a good day, and God bless.
Thought I wouldn't make it. I doubled up my grind. They threw a lot of shade, but I always found my shine. My hustle was resurrected when they tried to kill my vibe. Way before I ever had a Vivo channel. Wood grain, Atari basement wall, wood panel. Remember when my coat was just a hoodie and a flannel? Because my starter jacket was too old and whack to handle. Every era, every trend, every style, every wave, every lock, every braid, every row, every fade, every line, every bar.